Hey there, everyone. Welcome to the show. It is Denise. You are watching Speak Now Pro Wrestling here today, and we got to talk about a momentous AEW Dynamite. It's been a very, very newsy day, newsy week for AEW in general, so we are going to go and break down all of that. We will be talking about AEW Collision, CM Punk, and just so much more that went down here today. So there's going to be so much to get into. Also, just a heads up, this is legitimately a podcast party today. They always kind of are, but today's an extra one. Well, because in just a couple of hours, it will be my birthday. And since AEW is not tomorrow, but tonight, I figured today would be the birthday stream. Made sure to walk to the 99-cent store, get some balloons. And that's why I was late to the stream, because I taped the balloons to the actual like decor in the back, but then you couldn't see anything. So then I had to rip down the tape and tape them to the chair. And I had 2 seconds, and then it was like, okay, time to go live, time to do this show. So it legitimately is a podcast party here today, but we got so much AEW to get into. Before we do, just a heads up, if you guys want to help support this podcast, help support me here on the show, keep me funded. The way to do so is by sending in super chats. You do get your question, comment, or statement read here on the air if you do. And then even if you watch the show on a replay, you're always more than welcome to send in a super thanks, and you can find those in the comments, or not in the comments, like literally right below the video. There's a button somewhere where you can figure that out. So there you go. Let's get into today's show, everybody. We got our first super chat here from Tim Weininger, who's also a YouTube member. Thank you so much to Tim. It says, happy birthday, Denise. Thank you, Tim, getting us going. James Hammond with a sad message, because we lost superstar Billy Graham, and there was, you know, we had already kind of known about this with the news and everything that had been put out there, but it's just it's really sad whenever you lose somebody that is, it's always really sad to lose somebody, period. And it's going to be kind of hard to shift on gear. So I'm going to do a really shitty job of shifting back into the AEW fun stuff. So, but still, honestly though, rest in peace. It's, it always sucks. Really does suck. Darv Steven 77 says, happy birthday, my friend. Thank you for being you. Thank you so much for all of the love, Steven. I appreciate you. Taylor Cannon says, hope you have a great birthday, Denise. Thank you, Taylor, for all the love. Doppelganger 399 says, happy birthday. Thank you so much for the super chat. Andrew Cool says, my biggest concern about Collision is that at the same time, they're doing Money in the Bank and SummerSlam. Do you see them going to do, seeing them going back to doing premium live events on Sundays? Hope not. Look, guys, so let's go ahead and get into AEW Collision. That's going to be our first piece of news here. And so let's talk about that. So we basically got quite a bit of information today, most of which we kind of already knew because the reports had been out there, but it's different to have the reports out there and then to have officially AEW confirm it officially with their own press release and their own announcement and all of that. It's two entirely different things. So anyways, we officially now know, because it was announced at the Warner Brothers Discovery's upfront, that on June 17th, we are going to be getting AEW Collision starting June 17th, every single Saturday on TNT from 8 to 10 Eastern time, which is 5 to 7 Pacific Standard Time. So the exact same time that you guys see Dynamite and all of that. So we're going to be getting Collision. They announced that the headliners will include Miro, and that was kind of already expected considering that he came back on the show last week, and he was one of the people that was knocking on the door of Tony Khan. And you can pretty much assume that whoever was knocking on the door of Tony Khan was most likely going to be on this rumored show. We also got Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe is another one. Thunder Rosa is another person that came back last week as well. And she was another person that you're like, okay, you can put two and two together that she's most likely going to be on Collision. We also have Powerhouse Hobbs has been announced for that, and Andrade El Idolo. Now, Andrade, we have not seen in a good amount of time, and we still didn't even really know for sure what was going on there. And so he's officially been announced to be part of this Collision. Now, we know that the reports basically say that there's going to be some sort of brand split. This was not mentioned in the AEW press release, so this is still not legitimately confirmed, but you can tell just like based on the names that there is going to be, you know, dedicated superstars. Oh my gosh, dedicated talent. Wrong promotion, Denise. Dedicated talent to certain brands. And because if not, then you would have gotten these other names, your top names like Kenny Omega or whoever else would have been included in this press release, and they weren't. So that basically kind of lends itself to letting you guys know, like, hey, there is going to be this brand split. Whether or not it's going to be like a hard brand split or a soft brand split, who knows? Reports also said that it's mainly going to be more so for the men and not so much for the women. So you might be seeing that mainly on the men's side for the split of who you see on Dynamite and who you see at AEW Collision. And so that was basically what was announced today in the press release. Well, Tony Khan had an additional announcement today, or rather just like a, you know, supplementary information here. And the supplementary information, so he basically, you know, made an official announcement on the TV broadcast that, hey, we are going to be getting this new show. It's going to be called AEW Collision, blah, blah, blah. And he also announced that next week, and this is the part that you're wondering, what's going on? Because the rumors for a long time, for quite a while, have been that CM Punk is going to be part of AEW Collision. Then earlier today, there was a report put out by somebody, I think it was Comic Book. You can correct me if I'm wrong. I think it was Comic Book. And they basically said that they got a quote from an executive basically saying that, from Warner Brothers, that CM Punk was not going to be part of Collision. So a little bit of difference of, you know, what had been reported versus what was reported here today. So we still don't entirely know for sure. Now, the other rumor is that we're going to be seeing the June 17 show at the United Center in Chicago. If that wouldn't have been announced today, everybody would have been like, oh yeah, CM Punk's coming. And we didn't. Instead, Tony Khan said that the location for the June 17th premiere of Collision is going to be announced next week instead. So it kind of does feel like, it's interesting that we didn't get the announcement today, because I felt like we could have, but we didn't. And of course, it lent a lot of people to go like, well, what is going on with CM Punk? Is there more to this story? There usually always is, right? Is there more to the story? Why wasn't that announced yet? Unless there's been, I don't know, some sort of change in that. Who knows? We'll find out next week, because next week is when they're going to make the official announcement of where it's going to be. However, we do know that the following Collision shows on the Saturday, June 24th, will be in Toronto. The following week, again, in Hamilton, Ontario. So they're going to be doing a couple of events in Canada all the way until finally the end of July. They'll be in Newark, New Jersey. So that is basically where we're at in terms of Collision, what we know and what has been announced. Thank you so much to Andrew Cool. And I'm really excited for the show. Heads up, I am going to be reviewing the show here on every Saturday. I will be here to talk about Collision. I'm really excited. I hope that it's a good show. I've said this before. And what I want to say here in regards to Collision is that I just hope, and I don't think it will, but I really hope it doesn't become what Rampage has become, because Rampage has become a show that I used to cover legitimately every single week. I used to make dedicated time to talk about the show every Friday along with SmackDown. And recently it has just kind of become a show that doesn't feel like must-see television. And so I do hope that we do not get that with Collision. I want to see Collision as close as possible to resembling what we see with AEW Dynamite, because I do think that if this is a Saturday show and you want people to give their Saturday, 2 hours of their Saturday, when they could be out doing, you know, whatever else there is to do in your hometown, then you want to make sure that the show is good and that we're getting great stuff. And I do hope that we see CM Punk on Collision, because I don't mind seeing him, you know, on Dynamite or Collision regardless, but I do want to see him in Collision, because I do think that you need somebody like a CM Punk on that brand to really just make it feel like must-see television. Like it is worth it for me to not go to freaking, I don't know, Disneyland for the weekend so that I can stay home and watch Collision. Also, I'm making it seem like I can actually afford to go to freaking Disneyland every Saturday. Are you kidding me? Disneyland is expensive. But that's the first thing that popped into my mind. Let's get in some more thoughts here. I want to hear what you guys think about everything that's going on in Collision, with Collision and the announcements of that. So I'll get to that in a second. We got a super chat here from Brent M, who says, happy birthday, Denise. Tonight's show kind of felt like a filler, except for the last segment. Hopefully Rampage has good wrestling because that hot Austin crowd deserved a better. They were a pretty decent crowd, honestly, and they got some good stuff. We're going to talk about some of the good stuff that they got. Roberto Arsenolson's in a super chat saying, Feliz cumpleaños, no blood and guts at the pay-per-view. Why? I am not complaining at all about that, and I will tell you why once we get to the ending of the Dynamite show today. David Maleshevich says, the Elite Ensemble, happy birthday, Denise. 1990K sends in a super chat saying, happy 21st birthday. How excited are you now for Double or Nothing? Mike, I appreciate you saying 21st birthday because, boy, that was 10 years ago for me. Oh, God, now I want to cry. All right, 1990, I am very excited for Double or Nothing, especially because, and we'll dive more into this in a second, but because it is official, we are getting the Elite versus the Blackpool Combat Club in an Anarchy in the Arena match. And I was there for when we saw Blackpool Combat Club and Jericho Appreciation Society in the Anarchy in the Arena match. And I have said this on numerous podcasts, but that was possibly one of my favorite experiences in attending a live show. For those of you who were in the building for Anarchy in the Arena, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It felt like a concert slash wrestling show. I really do hope that they do the music thing again because the music just added so much to it. It felt like you were watching something really special, but we'll talk more about that in just a second. Joe Babb 64 says, happy birthday, Denise. Thank you for all you do. Thank you so much to Joe. Matt Reichiel sends in a super chat saying, happy birthday, Denise. Have the bestest birthday. Reggie Simmons sends in a very generous our super chat saying, happy birthday, here's to another trip around the sun. 554K says, hey Denise, happy early B-Day. I hope your birthday is just as amazing, as beautiful as you are. Mucho amor para ti y mi YouTuber favorita. I appreciate the love, man. Grapple Geekery sends in a super chat, also wishing a happy birthday, and says, great episode of Dynamite. Can't wait to see Anarchy in the Arena with the BCC versus the Elite. Looking forward to Double or Nothing even more now. I do think that Double or Nothing, for the most part, and we'll get into the card in a second, but for the most part, I thought, okay, we have like some decent matches that have been announced for Double or Nothing, but I don't necessarily think there was an actual match that I was like really crazy. Oh my God, I can't wait to see it. And this is it. This Anarchy in the Arena match is the match that if maybe you were on the fence about whether or not to spend the money to watch Double or Nothing, I think that this was definitely the match that may have turned some heads for sure. So we'll talk about more about what we can expect from Double or Nothing because there were some more matches that were announced. Nick Grosso sends in a very generous super chat saying, happy birthday to the hardest working woman in the IWC. Great to see Hangman Page back, and I'm really looking forward to the BCC versus the Elite at Double or Nothing. I think Takeshita costs the Elite the match and turn heel, then we get Ibushi is what Nick Grosso is predicting here. So, and here's the thing, like already everybody in the comments is already talking about this match because this is the match that I think is now making Double or Nothing worth even wanting to tune in if you weren't already crazy about what they already had. Yuri Alandero sends in a super chat saying, Feliz cumpleaños. This was an all right episode. Can't wait for Collision, though. And your review shows. Also, Disneyland absolutely sucks with all the expenses. I feel so bad because anytime you go to Universal Studios or Disneyland, I mean, you can't just go and spend a nice little $50. Hell, you can't even go and spend a nice little $100, man. If you want to get tickets, food, and then you're walking around and you're smelling the snacks, and then you're gonna want to buy Mickey ears or something, you're looking at like hundreds of dollars, and that's like just you. I think about this, like I think about families, I think about this all the time, you know, parents that take their kids and, you know, little boy, little girl, whatever, wants something, and you're like, shit, I gotta buy my kids something at Disneyland. There's another $50. Oh my God. Like, I stress out for that. I stress out for that because I think it's expensive just paying for myself. So now imagine like mom, dad, kids. Oh, it's just a lot. But Sheldon Jackson sends in a super chat saying, the Outcasts are so boring. If you ever look up copy and paste in wrestling, it's them. Interference, distract the referee, spray paint, and win. It's literally the same-ish, different week. Also, happy birthday, Denise. So I'm excited to talk about the Outcasts today because I legitimately enjoyed what they did. So let's get into the show, everybody. Let's go. We're going to kick things off with... let's kick things off with Wardlow, because this was something that you guys know how I've been feeling so far about Wardlow as TNT champion. It was something that I was on the fence about having to see again. I was a little bit even more so on the fence when I saw that they did another, like, I'm going to steal a word from Sheldon Jackson here, another copy and paste when they had him do a basic squash where he just did his powerbomb symphony. And that was not what I wanted to see because I felt like they had been doing a lot of that. But because they had already started and this feud with Christian Cage and Luchasaurus was already looming, it was something that was keeping me engaged because I am a fan of Christian Cage and I'm a fan of what he did with Jungle Boy, and I think he's going to give Wardlow the story, the match that is needed. And today was a perfect example of that because I loved the beatdown that we got of Wardlow here today. So Wardlow's out there, he ends up getting confronted by Christian Cage and Luchasaurus, so they have this face off here, and Cage basically tells them, I'm going to be TNT champion. And this ends up leading into Wardlow fighting the both of them. Of course, he's outnumbered. So Luchasaurus and Christian Cage basically get the best of him. But it helps that Christian Cage got Wardlow with a low blow. So they were really able to take advantage of him. And what we saw here was great because we saw Luchasaurus get him with the big boot. We saw Wardlow get hit in the face with a ladder. We saw Luchasaurus chokeslam Wardlow into a ladder that completely bent in half. And then Christian Cage got that exact same ladder, flattened it out with his foot, and then got him with the kill switch onto the ladder. So this was a really good beat down. Like, if we're going to get beat downs, this is the one that you do. But what I also liked was that backstage, Arn Anderson, later on in the show, confronted Wardlow as he was in medical and basically tells him, what are you going to do? What are you prepared to do given what just happened out there with Christian Cage and Luchasaurus? And Wardlow issued a challenge, a ladder match for the TNT Championship, Wardlow versus Christian Cage at Double or Nothing. Now, unpopular opinion here, guys. Get ready for it. I mean, I don't know if it's an unpopular opinion, but whatever. I want to see Christian Cage win. I want to see Christian Cage screw Wardlow out of the TNT Championship. And the reason I say that is I think something, Christian Cage is a phenomenal heel, a phenomenal heel. And the story that he did with Jungle Boy, we did see Jungle Boy get his happy ending, buries him alive, this and that. I want to see Christian Cage completely screw Wardlow out of this and just continue to level up as the heel that he is. And I have more interest right now, speaking right now, in seeing Christian Cage as the champ throwing it in his face than Wardlow right now just having the belt. I think that, I don't know. I know some people may be like, oh, well, you know, I don't know if they want to see Christian Cage with the championship, but that's kind of what I'm feeling in regards to this. I really want to see Christian Cage as the champ. Let's see what you guys think here. We got a super chat from Infamous Raider Logo. Good to see you. Says, won't be able to join the stream catching up from DVR, but I had to tell you happy birthday. Hope you had a great and wonderful birthday weekend. Thank you so much for all that you do. Looking forward to seeing you hit more of your goals. Thank you so much. Tomorrow's the official day, and I'm taking the entire day off tomorrow. So no work. And then Friday, I'm having a party. So I'm excited for that as well. Thank you so much, Raider Loco, for the very kind comment here. All right. What? The chat is not disagreeing with me. Okay, this doesn't always happen. Okay, we are in agreement here. We got Andrew who says, no argument here. Marvin says, you're right. Sean Williams says, that's not an unpopular opinion. Christian is a champion. Wardlow isn't. Justin Martin says, Christian Cage is one of the best at being a despicable human being heel. And that's the reason why we're rooting for him. Clearly, we root for despicable human beings over here on this podcast. Honestly, but here's the thing though. I know Nick Grasso says no more hot potato booking. I get it. We've been seeing these belts bounce around. Well, this belt bounce around a whole lot, but I feel if it serves a higher purpose, and the higher purpose could be just to really spice things up with Christian Cage as this, you know, massive heel to keep an eye out for on, you know, the AEW roster. I feel like they can definitely do it. However, I have a feeling that they're not going to do it only because, like you mentioned, we have been seeing this title get bounced around, right? And Wardlow, we've talked about his momentum so many times here where, you know, he literally last year, we were just weeks away from Wardlow legitimately being at his peak of popularity. Because as you guys remember, AEW Double or Nothing last year, we got Wardlow and MJF in the opening match of the night after there were all these reports that MJF wasn't going to show up to face Wardlow. And let me tell you, like, the people already liked Wardlow for who he was, but when those reports came out and all of the drama surrounding MJF, people wanted to see Wardlow. You know, I think people like wanted to see Wardlow get his opportunity, not get him to get screwed out of a match at Double or Nothing and screwed out of this storyline that they had been telling. So I remember being in the crowd, Wardlow coming out and everybody just going nuts. And when he beat MJF, he felt like the biggest or one of the biggest, excuse me, because we had CM Punk and Hangman Page later that night, so I need to rephrase what I said there, but he felt like one of the biggest stars on the show after that beat down of MJF in the opening of the night, and also coming off of all of those, you know, stories and everything. So going from where we were at last year and then kind of how that quickly fizzled out, it's two totally different worlds right now for Wardlow from where he was at last year and where he's at this year. So that's why I'm thinking they might not take the belt off of him because, you know, they're going to want to maybe bring some of that back. Let's see what else we got here. We got William Pickham who says, I say that not only have Christian win the title, but then he makes a rule that people can only challenge him for the title after they defeat Luchasaurus. So it could be months in between defenses. And it would totally work to do something like that for him. And it would be different for the TNT Championship because we do see the TNT Championship get defended a whole lot. But let's see what else we got here. Oh, man. I really thought that there was going to be more pushback with me saying that Christian Cage should be champ, but there clearly is not. All right, let's continue on from here. Really quickly, Lee Moriarty and Big Bill versus Darby Allin and Orange Cassidy. The things I want to most say about this is that Darby Allin and Orange Cassidy need to be a team more often. And the other thing is I want to see more of Lee Moriarty in singles matches because Lee Moriarty is the guy that you know is good, but I feel like sometimes we forget because for the most part, I feel like he should be in these bigger type matches. Maybe it's not his time right now, and that's perfectly fine, but he always does a tremendous job, and I feel like this was two things that I took away. The Darby Allin and Orange Cassidy having to be a team and wanting to see more of Lee Moriarty highlighted more so as a singles person on the show, but this was perfectly fine. This was a good one, but we need to talk about what is going down at Double or Nothing for Orange Cassidy. So we had this really hilarious backstage segment with Orange Cassidy and Renee Paquette. And so they had two segments. One, Orange Cassidy basically says that he's issuing a challenge to whoever to face him for his international championship. Later on, we follow up and he gets word from Renee she says that apparently there were 20 wrestlers that went to Tony Khan's office and wanted to challenge for the championship belt. And so Orange Cassidy's like, okay, well, I'll just face all of them. So it'll be 20. Oh, and me. So 20 plus one, 21. Let's just call it a blackjack battle royal. And then he goes, oh, wait, unless you want to be in it too, Renee. And Renee's like, nah, I'm good. You had to watch it. I didn't do a good job of retelling that because that was really funny. This was hilarious. I thought this was a good way to get this title contended for Double or Nothing. Blackjack Battle Royal. I love it. Makes sense for Las Vegas. Makes sense for Double or Nothing. All of it fits in very nicely. I'm curious to see who the 20 guys in it are going to be because there's still a lot of guys that don't have a match at Double or Nothing. So I feel like there should be some interesting names that we might be seeing in that battle royal. I don't know. That's what I'm feeling right now, but I'm looking forward to this one. I think this one's going to be a good one. And Sam Fine says, when Orange Cassidy asked if Renee wanted to be in it, I howled. It was so funny. Darf Stevens says, Renee versus Orange Cassidy, let's book it. No, we need to book Renee versus MJF after he smacked that microphone away from her. She needs to kick his butt, get some revenge, man. All right, moving on, we ended up getting, this was interesting, guys, because I'm really kind of, I wish they would have picked a lane for Sammy Guevara and stuck with it. They have been going back and forth with Sammy as a heel, Sammy as a babyface, Sammy's just a, you know, he's just falling and being fooled by MJF. And it kind of really irritated me going into the story how much back and forth they've gone with Sammy in terms of who he's supposed to be in this entire thing. Like, when you go into this Four Pillars match, you know exactly what MJF is. You know exactly what Darby is. You know exactly what Jungle Boy is. I'm not so sure that I really know what Sammy Guevara is supposed to be anymore because every time I think I figured it out, they change it the following week. When this whole thing first started, Sammy was, you know, being part of the Jericho Appreciation Society, he's, you know, he's a heel. But in that first promo that they did, all four guys, he was coming off as a babyface. And maybe that's because they were all making, you know, legitimate points as to why they should be facing MJF, possibly. And then afterwards, he went in and became MJF's stooge, MJF's annoying bestie, with him basically taking a paycheck to do whatever it is that MJF wanted him to do, which was basically screw Darby out of getting a actual title shot and having him basically take an easy win against MJF. So he kind of went from, you know what, maybe he's going to be seen as the somewhat of a good guy in this, to no, he's not. And then today he does this quick squash match with Exodus Prime. I guess he was making his AEW debut. And then he cuts a babyface promo. He's basically talking about his early start in Texas. And he tells the people, I've made mistakes, but you guys have watched me grown up. You're watching me grow up in front of everybody. And to me, I'm thinking, why are we going back and forth here? They should have stuck with something for Sammy because I don't know if I'm supposed to be rooting for him or not. Am I supposed to be rooting for Sammy here? Because 2 weeks ago, I definitely wasn't. But then like 3 weeks ago, I was. So now I kind of feel like they just really needed to pick a lane with Sammy and kind of stick to it a little bit here. So it did kind of feel a little bit all over the place with Sammy. But that was my only gripe with this Four Pillars thing, legitimately. Mike T90K sends in a super chat saying, didn't know you were over 30. I think we're the same age. Anyways, which match would you have closed, Double or Nothing? I say Anarchy in the Arena should close it. Anarchy in the Arena is going to be exciting wherever they put it. I feel because it is the biggest match and the coolest match, they could definitely close it with Anarchy in the Arena, but I still definitely kind of see them closing with the Four Pillars match, though. Although I would not be opposed to them closing with the Anarchy in the Arena. Mike T90K, thank you so much for the super chat. And let's see what we got here. This is from Justin. His thoughts on Sammy. He says, They're trying to frame Sammy as a good guy here, but he's naturally not likable. He comes across as disingenuous. He's not a victim. He's been pushed as much as anybody in the company. Here's the thing, though. I do think that if they would have stuck to a certain path with Sammy from the very beginning, I do think that the crowd would have gotten behind him, because there have been a lot of moments where the crowd does somewhat get behind Sammy, but then they remember that they don't like him. But I think if you fool us enough for a long period of time, then eventually some of us might get on board there. So that's the only thing, because I would have really liked to go into this match either really disliking Sammy or really rooting for Sammy. And now it's kind of just like, oh, well, Sammy's part of it. And considering it's his first time getting a title shot as well, I feel like that should be even amplified more so, make it a bigger deal that he's getting this opportunity. I don't know. I feel like I just mainly care more so about MJF and Darby Allin in this. Even Jungle Boy to me, even Jungle Boy kind of feels like extra. To me, the main course in that Four Pillars match is Darby Allin and MJF. Steven Marchulli sends in a super chat. Thank you so much to Steven. He says, happy birthday, Denise. Who would book to beat MJF for the title right now? Right now? See, there's guys that I know that I want to see as AEW champions, right? I mentioned I mentioned when Jay White came into AEW. I mentioned him as one of those names that I would love to see as AEW champion. And it got some mixed reactions, but he's definitely somebody that I would want to see hold that title. But it is hard to say right now who I think would defeat MJF. I don't feel like I have a specific name of somebody that I think should be beating MJF, because MJF is very special. He's a big deal, and some people may not see it. I don't know, but I definitely see it. I see MJF as a big deal. I see him being a very, very strong heel, a very strong personality for AEW, thus making him a strong champion, a different kind of champion, a different kind of champion than what Moxley was, than what Hangman was, than what Omega was, all these different types of champions. But there's a couple of people in here saying Adam Cole. Oh, man, guys, I love Adam Cole. Don't get me wrong, but shit, I don't know if I want to see him defeat MJF for the title. I don't know. I'm not sold yet. And I love Adam Cole, but I just feel like, oh, man, just like MJF's very, very special and very, very unique. Like MJFs do not grow on trees. So that's why I'm a little bit like, I'm not completely sold yet. I don't know who I want to pick to everybody here saying Adam Cole. So there you go. Who the hell cares what I say? Gerardo Asensio sends in a super chat saying, happy birthday, Denise. Hope you spend it well tomorrow and enjoy your birthday. Thank you so much, Gerardo. I'm hoping to chill and just have some time off and like not think about anything that stresses me out. So that's nice. Gerardo, thank you so much for the super chat. And let's see who we got here. Morningstar says, I want to see Jay White beat Orange Cassidy for the international championship. That would be good. I think that would be really good. Sam Fine says, there is literally no one on the roster prime to beat him in regards to MJF. Yeah, guys, you see what I mean? But there's a lot of people saying Adam Cole here. So I guess Adam Cole is legitimately the top option right now, at least based on the chat. All right, and let's press on from here. We ended up getting this. This has been incredibly hokey, by the way, and I really love it. So Tony Schiavone brings out Sanjay Dutt, Jay Lethal, Satnam Singh, and they end up getting attacked by FTR. This becomes a whole entire like melee where we end up getting Karen Jarrett, the wife of Jeff Jarrett. She comes out. She ends up helping, Jeff and Jay and Satnam and all of these guys. She's helping them out. She has like her big moment. I forgot who she gives somebody a low blow. I forgot who it was. And afterwards, we end up seeing FTR take guitar shots to the head. This whole thing, this whole story between FTR and Jeff and Jay have been legitimately ridiculous. Ridiculous. But I fucking love it. I don't know why. It is a mess. but they were kind of keeping it entertaining. From, I think it was last week or the week before when they did that whole vignette where they went to Mark Briscoe's farm and they did the whole thing with their overalls and the baby and all of that. It was very funny. And then even today, the way that they set this all up, the way that they brought in Karen, I think all of this just kind of made things feel a little bit goofy. So it was fine. I know some people hated this. I saw the comments. People were like, no, it's reminding us of TNA. And I knew people were going to say that because I felt the same way. I felt that it reminded me so much of, you know, the TNA days. And that's exactly what I felt too. But even so, I didn't hate it though. I didn't hate it. Thank you so much to Tim. It was Cash Wheeler who got the low blow. Thank you very much. You know what I thought was going to happen? Because they were all sort of like lined up. I thought it was going to be like a domino effect where it's like guy gets low blow. The other guy gets, wouldn't have made any sense whatsoever. But I was expecting some sort of like domino effect there, but it didn't happen. So there you go. All right, let's get into the women. We saw Ruby Soho and Toni Storm versus Hikaru Shida and Britt Baker. The team of Hikaru Shida and Britt Baker, love to see them team up given their history. So that was interesting. But the star of this, the star of this was Hikaru Shida. She went in there. She did not come to play no games with nobody. She came in there and livened up this match so much. This was a decent match, but Hikaru Shida took it to the next level. She goes in there, and there was a one point where she gets Ruby with these rapid forearm shots straight to the face of Ruby Soho, and she is just freaking going to town on Ruby's face. Then when you think she's done, she comes back with an additional final blow. She keeps it going. She does a crossbody. She does a Falcon Arrow. She does a Meteora. This whole match was Shida. Now, I know earlier Shelton Jackson was saying that he did not like that everything's sort of copy and paste with the Outcasts. However, I didn't feel that this one was too copy and paste. I felt like the previous weeks, that was my big argument, was that, yeah, we're seeing the exact same thing over and over. However, this I liked, even though we saw Saraya distract the referee, and so Toni uses the spray paint on Britt Baker, and that's how they're able to get the win and screw them out of the victory here. I liked this, though, because if they're going to do the spray paint thing, at least have it serve some sort of purpose, and at least here it ended up costing them the match, whereas before it was always a thing that you saw afterwards. And so I kind of felt like the way that they laid things out with this really good match and then the heels basically screwing them out of a victory here, I thought this was really good. So I was a fan of what they did here. I've been a fan of what they've been doing with them now the last 3 weeks, from the attack that they did on Britt Baker when the Jericho Appreciation Society was out there and they were making Adam Cole watch, from that moment to the Shida swerve on top of the swerve that they did, and then this here today. Those have been the three things that I have liked in this story. Also, another match has been made for Double or Nothing. We are going to be seeing Jamie Hayter versus Toni Storm. Toni Storm issued the challenge here today. This one's interesting too, because Jamie Hayter took the belt from Toni Storm. So now getting to see them go back and redo this one again, I think this one's going to be a fun one. Jamie Hayter right now is out and she wasn't at the show today. She's not clear to wrestle. Excuse me. Let me rephrase that. She was not clear to wrestle. So getting to see that match made, I think it's an okay one. I think I did definitely want to see some new matches for Jamie Hayter, especially heading into Double or Nothing. But I'm actually looking forward to this, though, because I do think that they have some good stuff that can be done there. So I didn't hate that at all either. Let's see what we got here. We got some predictions here and some comments also. And Mike T90 actually thought that they were expecting to see Jericho and Saraya versus Adam Cole and Britt Baker based on that segment a few weeks ago. I get it, but I think the other women are just part of this too. So you wouldn't want to leave them out. It all made sense to their story to keep some of them, you know, involved there. But I guess now we are getting that singles match. So they're still going to be, you know, just on the outside. I don't think they've been banned or anything. They might be, but I don't think they are. AFC and TP says, going to miss the whole whistle thing from Shida's OG theme. Can't lie. I didn't notice that actually. And then we got a super chat here from Sheldon Jackson who says, wanted to get your thoughts on Collision because I'm curious to see how they'll do once college football and when the NBA, NHL, and NCAA playoffs begin. So now that I recall, I didn't answer a question from earlier, which was somebody also bringing up the WWE pay-per-views. When it comes to, look, we see sports impact wrestling schedules and wrestling all the time. And so I think regardless whether you're watching, you know, football or hockey or whatever it is that your go-to is, chances are you're going to put that above wrestling because you can always like DVR it and watch it afterwards versus you don't want to watch sports like recorded afterwards. You want to watch sports live. So I do think it's totally different. And when it comes to the WWE premium live events, I do think that those are, you know, it's going to depend on who the viewer is and what they prefer to watch. But I know for me, the days that we do have the premium live events and Collision, I'm going to watch the premium live events because those are just going to mean, you know, a lot more. So I will be skipping the Collision shows whenever there is a WWE premium live event. And so I think everyone's just going to be making decisions. And, you know, it happens, guys. It freaking happens. I mean, look at Impact. When they were doing their shows on Saturdays, I was having a great time covering their shows on Saturdays, their pay-per-views. Then they switched to Fridays, and I'm like, damn, I'm sorry, I can't. I'm watching SmackDown. Now I can't cover those shows. So you just got to make decisions on what you choose to watch. It's kind of impossible now to watch everything. And there's people that do. Trust me, there's people that definitely do. Carlos Ronica sends in a super chat saying, happy birthday. Hope you have an awesome one. What announcement did I miss about the new show in Chicago? So they didn't announce a show in Chicago. They said that, well, Tony said that next week they're going to be announcing the date the location for the June 17th premiere of Collision. So it still hasn't been confirmed that it's going to be in Chicago. However, the reports and the rumors for a very long time have been that it's going to be in Chicago, but AEW has not yet made that announcement yet. Thank you so much to Carlos. And I broke down more of what Tony Khan said also earlier in this podcast. All right, so let's press on from here and see what else everybody is saying. Zeno Lauer, killing me here, says, yet no NWA reviews. Denise shaking my head, JK. I nearly died one day, guys. I'm going to be straight fucking forward right now. I was so... And I know some of you guys are going to do this now to me just to troll me. And it's fine if you do it just to troll me. But let me tell you something. I don't remember when it was. God, it was a couple, like maybe a year ago or several months ago, whatever. I don't know what the hell I was doing, but I was doing something else. Some other random thing in my life. I don't remember what the hell it was. And I was having a great fucking time. I was having a great day. And I think I shared a picture and I'm like, oh my God, I'm having so much fun doing this, whatever the hell I was doing. And I'm scrolling through the comments and someone's like, wow, you're not watching NWA. And they went off about how like I wasn't watching the NWA. And I'm sitting there thinking, what? And this person was being serious. Like they were being legit, like legit. And I'm sitting there going, bro, I watch this, this and that. Every single damn day I'm doing something. I'm watching something. I work from morning till night, okay? And I have one day off and somebody tells me I'm not watching the NWA. I nearly lost it that day. It would have been totally different if they were like, hey, Denise, how come you're not watching, I don't know, AEW All Out? That I would have understood. Or, hey, Denise, why aren't you watching Backlash? I don't know anything. And I was reading that comment and I was just like, come on now, don't do this to me. But anyways, if you guys want to do that to troll, I don't care. But that was the first time it happened and I nearly lost it. But whatever, it happens. All right, let's press on from this. I was not expecting to freaking go into that right now, but hey. Let's see what else we got here. What haven't I talked about on the show? We got so much more to get into. All right. One of my favorite things of this night. Ooh, I love this. This is good. But first, let's get the super chat in from Gotham Guy who says, I, for one, am so glad for this rematch. Hater beat Storm to win the title. Sorry, let me read this again. Gotham Guy says, I, for one, am so glad for this rematch. Hater beat Toni Storm for the title with a little help from Britt and Rebel. And Storm called that out on Road to Texas promo yesterday. So her challenge is valid. Thank you so much for reminding me of that, because that is true. And I had forgotten about that. So thank you so much for bringing this up. And I also feel like you can also touch on the fact that the second that Jamie Hayter won the championship, all of a sudden it was not the interim championship anymore. But when Toni Storm had it, it was still the interim championship. And I know they think it was Saraya, or it might've been Ruby. I think it was Ruby when she joined up with the Outcasts. I think she was the one who made a mention of this during her promo. And it's true. So I think that should also be included in there. Gotham God, thank you so much for the super chat. I appreciate it. All right, guys. And let's get into a match that I legitimately really enjoyed here today. One of my favorite things is when they kind of break outside the mold and do something that we don't often get to see on shows. And I like new scenarios. Alexis P in the comments killing me here. All right. So I like things that we haven't seen or don't get to see very often. And anytime we get these new places, these new environments, I think it just livens up the show a little bit more, right? It changes things. And we got Chris Jericho versus Roderick Strong in a Falls Count Anywhere match. And if you did not watch Dynamite today, please go out of your way to watch this match, because this was a whole lot of fun. This was one of those matches that, like, I don't care how old you are, 10 years old, 20 years old, 50, 60, whatever age you are, this is always going to be something that is fun, because you never know what's going to happen, what silly things they're going to do. And so they end up fighting into the crowd. They make their way all the way up into the concessions. They have all the people out there. Everybody's going crazy. They're in the hallways. There's a spot where Jericho puts Roderick Strong through a table. There's, they mess with, I forgot what the name of that food thing was. I think it was an ice cream or a frozen yogurt or a pie or something with whipped cream. Whatever, there's food involved. Roderick Strong at one point even gets a hand sanitizer, puts hand sanitizer in his hands because he sees it there. There's a moment where they go into the area where all of the stairs are at. And so there's the camera shot. Jericho was kind of thrown over the railing and you couldn't tell that there was a platform underneath. It legitimately looked like Chris Jericho was about to freaking fall like all these floors down. But then you realize that there was a platform there. You just couldn't really tell because of the camera angle. And also the platform was the exact same color as the wall. So the viewer, you're going, oh shit, Chris Jericho's about to fall all these floors down, not realizing that there's a platform. And I thought it was funny too, because commentary made the same mistakes. So that was pretty hilarious. But they fight there. They then continue to fight and all these different spots there. It was really good. There was a moment where Jericho gets the sanction, runs Roderick Strong into a wall with it, then smacks him in the back with it. The crowd is like, Y2J, Y2J. Jericho turns around, flips him off. This was really good. They eventually make their way outside the arena. Now, Adam Cole was banned from this match. And so he couldn't be in the arena for it. So they make their way outside, which in turn basically ended up being Roderick Strong's plan, because they go out there. And so Jericho is outnumbered. Adam Cole goes in there and hits him with the boom. And Roderick Strong ends up winning this match with the help of Adam Cole. And so Jericho is basically like laying there in the grass, in the dirt, his back all muddied up. And it was just a very fun visual, especially when Adam Cole creeped up right behind him, because Jericho has like all of this stuff on his face and Adam Cole's right behind him. And it's things like this that I think fans always remember a little bit more. And so this definitely was really good stuff. I love this stuff, guys. Tim Weiner just says, made me want ice cream. Man. Thank you, YT. It was Mr. Softy. Thank you, Mr. Softy. All right. Let's see what else we got. There's some good stuff there. Really good stuff there. So please, if you did not watch this match, this Falls Count Anywhere match, go watch it. This was good. How do I say this? I didn't know what hopes I really had for Roderick Strong in terms like, you know, I think I just got so used to seeing what we were getting in the latter period of NXT. And it'd been such a long time since I had really seen a match that absolutely killed with Roderick Strong. It had been a while, a real while. And so this was a reminder of like, hey, you're a fan of Roderick Strong. And this was a definite match that reminded me of what Roderick Strong can do as a performer. So I was happy to see that. And I feel a little bit more excited now than I probably was a couple weeks ago. So this was good stuff. We got 5x4K, who's a YouTube member here, says, yeah, I love that match. That was awesome. I love how the crowd was following them around. And it was awesome when they went outside. I agree. Good stuff there. And Justin Martin points out that they said Cole was banned from the building. The match went outside the building. Way to beat Jericho at his own loophole game. Yeah, and I liked that because it just made Strong and Cole just look very smart. All good stuff. All right, and Alexis P says, would have been better if Roddy paid for the ice cream. Good stuff, guys. All right. After this, we got Rush versus Jungle Boy. I kind of, you know, this was also a good match too, but I think given that we had just come off of that match with Jericho and Roderick Strong, I did find myself kind of taking a second to really get interested in Rush and Jungle Boy. But I think Rush did a phenomenal job of making sure that I was, because he was very, very aggressive in this match. He went at it with Jungle Boy. Jungle Boy at one point got busted open, and I loved the finish of this match. And I don't usually like these types of finishes, but I like the way that this worked because, you know, Jungle Boy, you got to protect Jungle Boy. He's going to be in a, you know, he's going to be competing for the AEW championship at freaking Double or Nothing. You don't want him to get a loss here. It wasn't a strong finish for him, but it was still a good one though, because Rush starts arguing with the referee and they get into it a little bit. And so Rush ends up screwing himself because Jungle Boy takes the opportunity to roll him up, get the pin. He takes advantage. Rush screwed himself. Jungle Boy gets the win. I liked this, even though it's not like a super strong finish for Jungle Boy, especially that he's going into this big match. I get it, but I thought this match was fun. I thought that Rush looked really good in terms of bringing out that attitude that he has in him, and he does a really good job of always showing that in his matches. But I did like the ending of this. This was fun. And they did have to follow up a match that, you know, had people, you know, just in a different atmosphere. So I like this. I thought this was really good. All right. Afterwards, we ended up getting the main event of the night, which was Jay White versus Ricky Starks. And here's the thing with this one. This is one that is kind of odd because Jay White and Starks are, you know, these are two guys that I think people really like. I know I really like both Jay White and Ricky Starks. But for some reason, I didn't think that this feud was necessarily all that hot. Like, I had kind of even forgotten that it was going to be happening here tonight. Like, it wasn't a thing where, you know, the whole week I'm going, oh, I can't wait to see this match. No, I kind of forgot. And so it was because I didn't think that they did much with the story, right? But with that being said, during this match, I thought they did a really great job of having people get interested in the match, get people caring about what was happening in the ring. Ricky Starks got a lot of really great reactions. This was a solid match that ended up furthering this feud when I thought that this was kind of be the end of it. I kind of thought that they were going to maybe just, you know, hit it and quit it and be done with it. But no, they actually ended up furthering this a lot more than I had anticipated. So we end up seeing, there's a moment where Juice Robinson gets involved and he brings in a chair and he tries to hit Ricky Starks with it. But instead, Ricky Starks takes the chair away and hits Jay White with it and thus gets himself DQ'd. So that's pretty much how this ended, basically letting us know, hey, this is clearly going to continue. And I feel that it kind of needed something like this because I, like I said, this feud wasn't that hot going into this match. And I think Ricky Starks having this moment ended up making it feel a little bit more interesting so that when we do get this match again, I feel like people are going to care maybe just a little bit more. So we'll see. And Let's see what else we got here. AFC and TP says, I like how Starks realized he got disqualified for hitting him with the chair and concluded with the, oh, still worth it. I love that because, again, I thought this was going to be very straightforward. I thought, okay, whoever wins here, that's it. We're going to move on for both of these guys. And they're not. They're going to continue this. And I think that they have a real opportunity to make the story a whole lot better. Because I said this in the beginning when this whole thing first started, but Jay White and Ricky Starks can both very much benefit from this. Because, well, this is Jay White's first story in AEW. And it's with Ricky Starks, who has gotten, you know, really hot, really popular on the roster and is making his way up, you know, climbing up that ladder. So I feel like both of these guys can very much benefit from that. And I do see Jay White, you know, really being up there. I would love to see him do a program with MJF. Holy shit, I would really love that. Like, really want to see something like that. But anyways, that's where we're at with all of that. Before I continue on, we got a couple more things to talk about. We got to talk about the big moment at the end where we saw the Elite reunite with Hangman Page returning. We're going to get to that in just a second, but we're also going to talk about a little bit more about the Double or Nothing card and where we're at right now with Double or Nothing. So let's get into this. Don Callis last week, and when we were watching Kenny Omega versus Jon Moxley in the steel cage match, we saw Don Callis turn on Kenny Omega after all these years, after everything they've been through. He turns on him. And so he comes out and he's supposed to be addressing why he did what he did to Kenny Omega. And he's out there. The crowd is chanting, piece of shit, piece of shit. I love that chant, by the way. I love that chant. And so he says, you know, instead of talking about why I did what I did to Kenny, I'm going to talk about what Kenny did to me. He then goes on to say that he is the victim. It's not Kenny Omega. It's Don Callis. And that without him, there would not be a Kenny Omega. So Kenny comes out. He's pissed off. He ends up getting attacked by the Blackpool Combat Club. Prior to all of this, we saw a backstage fight between the Young Bucks and the Blackpool Combat Club that saw the Blackpool Combat Club basically win that little fight that they had backstage. So Kenny Omega's getting his ass whipped by the Blackpool Combat Club. Finally, the Elites come out, and it's still not enough people. It's just, you know, three of them. They're still outnumbered by the BCC, and they have weapons and all this. But finally, Hangman Page's music hits. Hangman Page comes out to this massive pop, and then he stands next to Kenny. Kenny hands him the broom. They make their way there to the ring and they brawl with the BCC. They get the best of them. Afterwards, we end up seeing a quick promo from Page. And he basically says that we are the Elite. Basically reuniting with Kenny, with the Bucks. They're all back together. They're all friends again. It's all happy stuff. And then he says, we're also going to make this match for Double or Nothing, the BCC versus the Elite in Anarchy in the Arena. And that's it. Shit hit the fan because you're getting multiple things here. You're getting Kenny and Hangman back together again, along with the Bucks. Hangman, all Elite once again with the Elite. And then you're also getting this big matchup that has been made for Double or Nothing. This was a win-win across the board. I think that this is the thing that definitely added what we needed to really spice up this Double or Nothing card. So how did you guys feel about seeing Hangman Page return with the Elite? Let's see what we got here. We got a very generous super chat from Justin Martin who says, happy birthday, Denise. God bless you. Anarchy in the Arena becoming official was a great gift for you. Hangman Kenny and the Bucks finally fighting together again was an incredible moment. It was. It felt like a big deal as it is. And for those that, you know, have been fans of AEW now since it starts, I feel like this was something that already the feud between the Elite and the BCC had added so much to the show. I've been loving the presentation of the Blackpool Combat Club with them just going out and not giving giving zero Fs whatsoever and just being these bad guys that are just kicking ass. That's what you want to see. That's what you've been wanting to see from the BCC. And I'm so glad that's what we got. And so that was already livening things up. But now with the added addition of Hangman into all of this was, that was chef's kiss. That was what we needed. Thank you so much to Justin Martin. And we got everybody here in the comments basically saying the exact same thing. Everybody is here for all of that. Let's see what else we got. 554K YouTube member says, yeah, that ending was really good. I'm happy Hangman is back and I'm looking forward to that match at Double or Nothing. That will be a 10 out of 10 match, just like the ending tonight. Oh man, guys, it was really great stuff. So let me just get the updated card here. Let's talk about the updated Double or Nothing card and break it down as to what's been happening. We also got a super chat here from Christopher Marino. Thank you so much to Christopher, who says, I loved everything about the BCC versus the Elite. The match will rule. Also, still leaving the mystery with Callis. It's so good. Also, Hangman versus MJF down the line. Happy birthday. Thank you so much. And yeah, Hangman Page versus MJF isn't something that I haven't even mentioned. And I'm so glad you brought it up because that's definitely... Ooh. I'm sorry. I'm just thinking about all these things here. And now you got me going. Damn. I want to see that too. I think that's what I like too about MJF being champ is that you get to see all these different types of matchups and different people to go at it. And Hangman, we've seen Hangman get freaking fired up. That feud that he had with Jon Moxley was incredible. So I would like to see him and MJF down the road. Christopher, thank you so much for this very, very generous super chat. All right, let's talk about this Double or Nothing card. Before I do, just a heads up to everybody. The next time that I will be back here, I still haven't decided if I'm doing a Q&A on Friday. I may or may not do a Q&A on Friday. I won't be here Friday night because I am celebrating my birthday. I'm throwing a party. So I'm going to, nobody better message me and be like, Denise, why aren't you watching the NWA? Denise, why aren't you watching SmackDown? How dare you celebrate your birthday on a Friday night, stay home and watch SmackDown. Actually, I'm gonna laugh my ass off when I see those. All right. So yeah, for Friday, I will not be here because I will be having a party, having a little bit of life. But Saturday, I will be back on Busted Open. Please make sure to check that out on SiriusXM. If you guys haven't checked that out, please do. And then also New Japan Resurgence is happening this week. I will be at the event. I will also be at the press conference. I'll be posting whatever footage I can from that here on the YouTube channel. And then next week is Double or Nothing week. So next week I do have plans to be on here to talk about NXT. I will be here to talk about AEW. I will also be doing a Double or Nothing prediction show. So that should be fun as well. And then I'll be in Las Vegas for Double or Nothing. So it should be a good couple of days. I love it. Justin Martin says, how dare you not watch NXT Level Up? Alexis P, why aren't you watching XPW? Richard Martinez, why aren't you watching MLW? I'm dying. Okay. So let's get into this Double or Nothing card here and what we've got so far. We got, of course, the Anarchy in the Arena match, which is really the match now. Jamie Hayter versus Toni Storm for the AEW Women's World Championship. We're getting the 21-man Blackjack Battle Royal for the AEW International Championship with Orange Cassidy defending against 20 other competitors. We're also getting a ladder match for the AEW TNT Championship with Wardlow versus Christian Cage. Then Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal, will they walk out as AEW World Tag Team Champions? Can they defeat FTR? We'll see that as well. And then the Pillars four-way match with MJF defending his title against Sammy, Jungle Boy, and Darby. So right now, Anarchy in the Arena is the main match I'm looking forward to. The second one that I'm most looking forward to is that ladder match with Wardlow and Christian Cage. I think that one's going to be really good. So I'm really looking forward to that. And usually we know these pay-per-views tend to have like 13 matches or way more than six. So I'm still expecting several more matches to be announced unless they suddenly magically do a much shorter pay-per-view. We'll see. Alrighty, everyone. That is it. That was Speak Now Pro Wrestling for today. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, as always. And again, if you haven't already, head on over to Apple Podcasts. If you like this podcast, please leave a review, leave a comment. I do read them here on the stream whenever I get the chance. Whenever I see them pop up, I grab them and I pull them up here. I just read one on Tuesday. Do that. The link is in the comment section below. It really helps spread the word out, get the word out about the podcast. I was very happy. Someone sent me, I think last week, someone sent me a screenshot that this podcast was ranked number 13 in the UK wrestling podcast charts. I never even looked at it. And someone sent me a screenshot. It had gone up 110 spots and was at number 13, which is huge when you think about how many wrestling podcasts there are. So please check those out. I'm on Spotify, Anchor, Google Podcast, all of the podcast servers. So there you go, everyone. Thank you so much. And I will see you guys on Busted Open on Saturday on SiriusXM. Please do not forget to subscribe to the channel. Have a great week, everybody. Bye.